welcome to the History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories behind the things you love to do. My name is Russ Frushick, and I'm joined today by Christopher Thomas Plant. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
And Allegra Frank. And that's how I'm going to say your name from now on.
Allegra.
Allegra Frank, who is bringing, if I'm not wrong, I think I might be wrong, the most dangerous toy we've yet had on the History of Fun.
God, I think it must be going through some of these stories that people
We're going to get some good ones. Allegra, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about trampolines. Just going to cut right to the chase.
I'm really excited.
The thing is, we call this the History of Fun, and I don't know that I've ever talked about something I find fun.
No, come on, Beanie Babies,
that's
Happy
true.
Meals.
That is also true, but trampolines are something I very much am opposed to.
I love trampolines.
Oh my God. Plant, how do you feel about trampolines?
I had one as a child in my backyard, and we used it to brutally hurt all of our friends. it was like a blood sport-y type of thing. Like, it wasn't like you never went out on a trampoline to have fun. It was more like boxing. Like, you knew that some people were gonna get punched if you were on a trampoline.
Oh my God. Yep.
Is that not normal? That feels like a boy. I want to say that's like, oh, that's what little boys do, but I don't know if that's true.
No, it's definitely a thing.
I played spin the bottle on a trampoline when I was like 12.
Oh my God, you did. Of course you did.
It was great.
Well, so the trampoline clearly has a lot of purposes, a lot of uses. But let's start with the beginnings. So trampoline, actually, it's hard to pin down exactly where it came from, but there were a couple of different countries that had trampoline-esque devices, I guess. So Iran and China and Egypt, all of them were known to have trampoline-like things that were used for either like religious ceremonies, which is interesting, or for practical purposes, which was just like, oh, we have to see something and it's really far away or high up. So let's take some like canvas and jump on it. Like,
I love the image of people being like, there's like an invading army coming and people are just like bouncing up and down on the trampoline.
Yeah, literally. Or like, that thing is too high up on our shelf. Let's just get a trampoline real quick, which I think is smart. But the version of a trampoline, or the one most akin to what we have now or like recognize as a trampoline, comes from the Inuits, who would toss blanket dancers into the air on walrus skin. And this is actually a practice that they still do, that people still do for a certain ceremony. I'm going to screw up the name. It's Nalukatak. Which is still like they have dancers. So they literally like take walrus skin or something like it these days, and people like jump up and then do some kind of dance performance while they're jumping, which sounds extremely traumatizing to me.
Yeah, I'm picturing kind of like in reverse of what like firemen have, those like things that they catch people in. But like, I guess you could launch someone up too if you were trying to do that.
Yeah. It was kind of like that, I guess.
How do you get walrus skin clean enough that it doesn't like rot, but you could still use it for like a trampoline?
Also, like, is it multiple walrus skins stitched together?
Walrus because is pretty like, big, though.
I guess so.
How big do you think a walrus is? They're huge.
I don't know.
If you just use the skin, also they're very wrinkly. So think of how much skin they have hiding.
That's true. But there's like a bunch of people jumping on this. As like the dance ceremony. But anyway, so for the actual trampoline, the one that we recognize and loathe today, there's sort of two schools of thought here. So one, this is the one I like. Per circus lore, as described on trampoline.co.uk, there was a trapeze artist named Du Trampoline, which makes sense.
Wait, his name was Mr. Trampoline?
Du Trampoline.
What does do mean in French?
Like
was
of.
It?
Yeah, French.
He is of the trampoline.
Yes. And so he was using a trapeze net and some other suspension devices to like bounce himself up. Oh. So he like came up with a new trapeze act, which got really popular and people started copying it. And that eventually became, you know, the trampoline.
But it seems funny to me, like I would think trampolines would come before trapeze because it seems like more simplistic. But I guess swings were around for a while. Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, maybe the idea of like using it for like, well, I guess there was already a version of it used for performance. So I don't know. Right. It doesn't actually matter because this is per circus lore. So this is probably apocryphal.
Was that the website or was that the general concept of circus lore?
I actually might have come up with that term myself. I have it here in all caps and I thought it was from the website, but I think I actually just defined circus lore. So the most likely origin creator of the trampoline is this guy named George Neeson, who he was a gymnast, which makes sense, at the University of Iowa. And in 1934, he kind of wanted to just practice his tumbling a little bit, and he wanted to shake things up. So he decided, okay, you know what? You know who's interesting doing something cool out there in the gymnastic world? Trapeze artists. And so he borrowed their own bouncing, you know, lines that they use and essentially came up with the same device that people think like Du Trampoline came up with, taking trapeze net and then some suspension devices so that he could bounce up while he does his, I guess, his tumbles in the air. And so, yeah, he called it the trampoline in 1937. At first, he just didn't have a name for it. He was just using it for exercise. And then he went to Mexico and he heard the Spanish word for springboard, which is trampoline.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Creative. And so, as we often do in English, we just stole that word.
Hell yeah.
And here we go. Trampoline. And it got really popular. So he's using it for exercise. And like he was at, you know, U of Iowa. So he was able to share that with other people in the gymnastics department. And a lot of people
is this just like one of the little this is like the little like 4 foot diameter trampolines we're talking about?
Because
I feel like that's what they use in exercise, like not the big ones.
Yeah. I mean, they were definitely smaller, but also they were used for entertainment as well. But definitely like they weren't the big like party town spin the bottle trampolines where you have like everyone from your seventh grade class on it. And
wow.
You spin in bottles.
What are you talking about right now?
I don't know. Just saying. Not calling anyone out. But so anyway, it got pretty big. And so his coach at the University of Iowa was also super into it. And his name is sort of lost to history. The New York Times mentions him. But Larry Griswold is actually kind of a co-creator of the trampoline, his coach. So it sort of was like George Neeson had this idea and then his coach, being the true gymnast, helped him realize it. But everyone just focuses on George. But shout out
Larry.
To Larry. Yeah. The two of them came up with the Trampoline and Tumbling Company, which they established in Cedar Rapids. And they were like, okay, we got something good on our hands. Why don't we just start selling this? And it's kind of interesting because, like, they came up with the concept in 1934. And it took them almost 10 years to realize, oh, shoot, we should make money off of this.
Well, I guess it's hard to, like, ramp up. You know, if you're not like experienced in selling stuff like that, that's a tough thing to ramp up.
Yeah, I guess so. And like they were clearly just hanging out in Iowa, which to my knowledge is very boring and flat and empty. So I don't really know.
But it's flat. That's important. You mentioned it's flat.
That's true.
And perfect trampoline territory because you can't trampoline on a mountain.
As someone from the Midwest, I really want to stand up for Iowa right now, and I'm just absolutely struggling.
I mean, it is flat. I don't think there's any argument there.
It's boring and empty.
Yes, that's true. Okay.
Hey, what about, they've got ghost baseball players.
Oh, what about the Iowa Test of Basic Skills?
I don't know what that is.
No, nobody else had to take that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so, okay, 1941, wartime, baby. War's coming up. It's actually happening, right? So during the war, George and Larry, now that they figured out, yo, we can make money from this, they started selling trampolines to not just, you know, Iowans, but to the military. And the military actually started using them to train pilots who were really afraid of, like, when they have to do any flips or turns in the air, They were really afraid of, like, their bodies, you know, being jostled within the plane. So they would use trampolines to get them okay with doing, like, you know, those sorts of spirals and tumbles, which sounds curious.
Ineffective?
To me. Yeah. Don't really know how that worked, but hey, what a pitch. Worked for them. Military bought them in, like, bulk, which was pretty cool for them. Sounds kind of like a scam. But they also changed the material from canvas. It was originally canvas, which isn't quite as bouncy, to this sort of web-like material that they still use today, which is, you know, way more bouncy than canvas is. So, yeah, the trampoline really hasn't changed too much from then. That was kind of like a fairly large change to it. But it's pretty much the same thing since that. But, okay, so obviously the trampoline's like ramping up. The military's in on it. It's out of Iowa now, so actually people are into it and buying it. and so finally people are starting to try and rip it off. So what would you think?
Wait, I have a question about the military before we move on.
Yes. What's your question about the military?
Okay. Now, hang with me for a second.
Wait, what?
Okay. Let's say if there was a bomb that gets dropped from a plane and you see it getting dropped, could you theoretically put a trampoline where it drops and prevent the bomb from going off?
I don't know that a trampoline is that strong.
I mean, they could be.
Like, it would just bounce back off, or would it just sit there?
Yeah, it would bounce away, maybe. That.
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Everything I know about trampolines I learned from Wile E. Coyote, I'm just saying.
I mean, maybe that's why the military was buying them.
Yeah, that's exactly. You just stack them around the base and maybe you're safe.
The Cuban Missile
Early Patriot Missile.
Was cured by trampolines. well, I don't know. That's interesting. We'll have to figure that out later. Anyway, so what do you think, like, the biggest ripoff of the trampoline was called? Like, this was the name of essentially a trampoline device. I don't know if I should call them devices.
Is trampoline like a brand name?
It's not a brand necessarily, but like that's just, you know, the name for it, right? Like, it's a baseball bat. That's what everyone calls it.
Sure. So like
people were coming up with like what's essentially what we call a trampoline, but calling it by different things.
Okay.
So what would you think is like another name for a trampoline?
Well, if I had to guess, I'll bet the Australians have a hilarious name for trampoline.
Like, okay, like what?
Bouncy circle.
That's not like super far off. Plant, can you think of another name for a trampoline?
Spaghetti.
Is it spaghetti? This plant Mom hasn't spaghetti. Slept more than 2 hours in the last month, so he's going to be a little bit dry on ideas.
So, Russ, you were kind of close. There were ripoffs called, like, the Acromat. So people would try and be like, oh,
that's very
you should
good.
Buy the Acromat, so, which I think is better than the trampoline.
Yeah,
what,
Acromat
what year is
very
is this
good.
Again?
So this is, like, the late 40s now.
I guess it's still too early. I was going to say that it could be things like Bounce-O. Like, or like
that's the too Bounce-O-Rama. Early for Bounce-O.
Yeah, I think that's like mid late 50s when we're in kind of that, like, everything is, I don't know, what do they call that? Like, futurist almost?
Like Blammo.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Or the Whammo. Wasn't Whammo the Frisbee company? Whammo.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, like, it's a lot of onomatopoeias.
Yeah, sure. Just a lot of things that sound like they have exclamation points at the end. Yeah, no, it's just the Acromat. But the trampoline, that was the name that everyone still called it, which I kind of think is sad, but whatever. So probably because George Neeson was still its biggest promoter, and he wanted to keep that name because he came up with it. So eventually by the 50s, he and his wife were promoting the trampoline around the country and the world. So right now it's kind of just, before this, it was kind of a thing in America, but they started traveling, taking the trampoline with them and doing like performances to get people into it in other countries and continents. And it got so popular that gas stations would actually like have these little jump centers where people could pay money to like hang out on a trampoline. And a lot
Why
of
at a gas station?
I don't know. Like, just that was like the main place. Like, a bunch of people, a bunch of like retail locations would have a trampoline area. But the gas stations were like the biggest ones where I guess like if you're pumping up gas, you let your kids run around and go jump for a little while.
Is it like fenced in? I'm trying to picture because like what it reminds me of is those horses that you put 25 cents into and you ride them.
Yeah. But I don't think it was fenced in. It was outdoors. But I don't think it was.
And then
fenced
you have to
in.
Staff it. You have to like, hey, did you pay to jump on that trampoline? And the kids are like, nah, but I already jumped on it. Tough.
I mean, whatever. They're making money back.
I guess.
And actually, so I assume it must have been expensive. I don't have a price because they would let people bounce around for other places, not just the gas stations one, but like places that literally just had like, come play on our trampoline. You could bounce around on it for half an hour, which again sounds just horrible to me.
Like, no, that's amazing.
That's a lot. That's a very long time. So you would just pay to jump for half an hour, which I think was actually smart because trampolines were bigger now. And it's not like a lot of people had tons of real estate, I assume, to just have one in their backyard. So this was a smart way to let people try it. And if they couldn't have one themselves, at least they could go jump around. And in the New York Times, George Neeson's daughter Dagmar said that the trampoline was so popular, it was like comparable to the hula hoop. Like it was one of like the most popular like sports like toys at this time.
Not really an impartial source, though.
But very, very expensive. Yeah. An expensive thing versus hula hoops like are cheap AF. Quick sidebar, and then we're going to get into competitive trampolining, which is exciting. So one of the things that George Neeson did to promote the trampoline, which like he just did that for like a decade plus, like he would just travel around trying so hard to get people into this thing. So one of the times, I guess probably in Australia, some company was like, okay, yeah, sure. Like we'll help you promote this thing. And we have a great idea. Why don't you pose with a kangaroo? Because you're selling a thing that is about jumping. And
they
did
love
really
jumping.
Well. Yeah, they love jumping. That's what they're good at. So George did a whole like photo campaign with a kangaroo, and everyone loved it so much that they wanted him to start touring around the world with the kangaroo.
Oh yes, please.
As, like, a two-person act, but George hated it so much. He hated the kangaroo.
Why?
He called it. Here's a quote. They're the stupidest things you ever saw, and they like apricots, and you can't train them. This is a direct quote. That's his list of things that he hated.
That really runs the gamut, because A, like they're apricots. The stupidest things. B, they definitely love apricots, but you can't train it.
Yeah.
They know what they like. What can I say?
Yeah,
I love kangaroos. They're great.
They are great. But George, very anti.
I just like how much you cushion, like, but hey, I love kangaroos. You all know me. I'm a guy who loves kangaroos. They're
I'm
great.
A kangaroo guy. to my soul, I'm a kangaroo guy.
Well, George was not. But that's okay because he, one, was still selling these things like hotcakes. And two, he and his wife felt like, okay, you know what, George, you started out in the NCAA world, in gymnastics at a college. We should bring trampolines back to where we started. So they basically, back to Iowa, baby. They petitioned the NCAA to start including the trampoline at its gymnastic meets, which a lot of people were like used to it. A lot of people were familiar with it at this point. People were very into it. So the NCAA was like, heck yeah, sure. Bring it in, baby.
It's sort of like you know, rock and jock sports?
Sure.
And they'd have like normal baseball, but then they'd have rock and jock baseball. And in rock and jock baseball, you don't get one home run, you get 50 home runs. That's what introducing trampolines to gymnastics does, because it just increases the possibilities dramatically.
Yeah, yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly that.
Exactly that.
I like just picking up all my references today.
Okay, so now, competitive trampolining. First, it's in the NCAA competitions. Pretty cool. But it's just like a small part of it, right? It's not like the main attraction. George
Obviously.
Wants more. Obviously, he wants something bigger. He wants to be the star. So we, in 1958, see our first trampoline solo televised competition. Basically, George is working hard enough to like spin the trampoline off into its own thing that they're able to get solo trampoline competitions and even have them on TV. So this is the way that the competitive trampoline arena works. Basically, you have to like jump on the trampoline 10 times. You have to make contact with it 10 times and you have to do different rotations every time. And you have to hold each one for 3 seconds before you land. And you have to land on either like your butt or your foot, like pretty much wherever, as long as you're staying on the trampoline. And that was the complexities of the competitive trampoline.
It sounds kind of like they just ruined trampolines for me.
Yeah.
Why put them in the box? Like, I want to do trampoline how I want to do it.
I know. I mean,
mostly sitting down, spinning the bottle,
smooching.
A whole bunch of hot chicks and dudes.
Doing some smooching.
Yeah. Well, if you smooch in the air for 3 seconds, you're probably okay.
Oh man.
Yeah. And they're specific shapes, though. So they're also specific shapes. You could do knees to chest, so like you're holding your
knees. Oh, I thought you meant shapes of the trampoline.
No.
You mean body shapes.
Yeah, body shapes. You could do knees to chest. You could have like your arms and your legs straight with like your, you know, your hands like resting against your sides. Or you could just like jump up straight in the air. So
wait, you can't like freestyle? You had to do these shapes?
Like, yeah, originally, yeah. The way that George foresaw it, this was the
George,
extremely,
you're taking all the fun out of it.
The extremely exciting world of competitive trampolining that deserved its own spin-off competition. It sounds so boring to me.
It really does.
Yeah, because you have to do this 10 times. But the thing is,
I like that, like, this, like, 10 times, I am bored, exhausted.
It's like 30 seconds.
I know, it literally is 30 seconds.
It's like a vine. Do you watch vines and you're like, oh, it'd be better if they were only
enough
3
already.
Seconds.
The thing is, I watch vines for, like, hours, and I would get
your favorite
so
vine is just back at it again, and then just loops.
Back at it.
Never even get the end.
Oh my god. The way they would score these is like based off both the difficulty of the routine, which seems strange to me, being that there weren't too many different ways to do a routine, but also the amount of time you're spending in the air. You have to hold it like for at least 3 seconds, right? So if they manage to hold for longer, that would factor into your score. Which was cool, I guess. But so it's interesting that the first televised competition was in 1958, so like people were doing this, and there was a global competition in 1964. A year later, there was an international federation which would govern the competitive trampolining sport. But it took until the year 2000 for the Olympics to recognize trampolining, which seems to validate my feeling of this is a very boring competitive sport. But
why? Because the Olympics picked it?
Because the Olympics took so long to pick up on it. Because it was
did
like
the Olympics
a big
change
thing.
The rules of, or is
no,
it the same?
Same rules, but they also there's additional versions of it. Like there's synchronized trampolining, which actually sounds really rad, where it's like there's two trampolines next to each other and two people are doing the same routine on like individual trampolines.
I feel like it'd be more impressive if who's on the same trampoline because you'd have to avoid knocking into each other.
That's true. But here's probably a reason why the trampolining, competitive trampolining, or just trampolines in general, start to fall out of favor for a little while, and the Olympics didn't really want to sign on for a bit. Because
deaths skyrocketed.
Yes. People started to realize once more and more people were using these things, like, oh, shit. Oh, darn. These things are, like, extremely... extremely unsafe.
Oh, darn.
Oh dang. These things are very, very, very unsafe. Even if people were like, oh, they're great exercise. This is really fun. Oh my God, I just broke my leg. That started to happen more and more and more. So by the 70s, basically like riding like top of the world through the 60s, you know, he has his international federation. There's all these competitions happening. He's making bank. But in the 70s, George started getting sued a lot.
Uh-oh.
Because kids, somehow, maybe more and more kids were starting to play with these things. I don't have, like, prices of how much they cost, but maybe, like, the price went down or something. But kids were starting to get paralyzed by playing on these things and falling off, or sometimes just maimed by them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like,
yeah, according to the New
the
York
springs
Times.
Parts. I mean, yeah. This middle of the trampoline is safe.
Yeah, probably like getting their hands caught or any of the side part, I guess. They would
yeah,
just
the side part's the bad part. If the whole thing was trampoline, you'd be set.
Exactly. So, yeah, George started getting a ton of lawsuits, and that really turned a lot of parents and kids off of the whole trampoline thing.
Boo.
But at the same time, people were still buying them. It was like it still got really popular. So to the point where there was a 350% increase in sales in 1999 over 1989. So despite George getting all these lawsuits and all these news reports saying, like, be careful, perhaps because of that, even kids were like, yo, I want to get on this thing. It's dangerous. I like to hear.
And the Plant family was right in that wheelhouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's when you got your tramp.
It's dangerous. We like to ride reckless here. So literally, though, by 1999, almost 100,000 people had to go to the emergency room because of trampoline injuries.
Well, not nice at all. That's actually tragic. I take it back immediately.
And that's three times more than how many people had to go to the ER in 1991. So literally, like, by the new millennium, the trampoline was huge, which makes sense to me because I remember it being a really big thing when I was a little kid in the year 2000. So, yeah, it was just, like, becoming bigger and bigger. And I honestly think it must be the risk factor because I can't imagine why all these people would knowingly buy it.
You're saying the reason it's so popular is because it's so dangerous?
I feel like it must be.
Here's why I think it became so popular.
Okay.
I think at the exact same time, I think, if I remember like how we got ours, do you remember Sam's Club?
Yeah.
It was like Walmart's proto.
It was like Costco. Same deal.
Yeah. That those were opening up. And Sam's Club's whole shtick was it was like Walmart, but like four times as big. Mm. And because of that, they would have like giant stuff in them. Like they would have an entire, a giant trampoline built in Sam's Club. And they would sell it for like super cheap.
Yeah.
Because they could stock those boxes where they couldn't stock them at Walmart. And my suspicion is that the rise of those stores spelled the rise of trampolines.
That makes perfect sense.
Everyone I knew had one from Sam's Club.
Yeah, that makes sense. I still like to believe it's risky kids.
I want to go back to the part where Allegra thought it was popular because it was dangerous. That's crazy, Allegra.
That's why I thought it was interesting. I want to go on that thing. It's killed people. I want to survive.
I think the reason, imagine being able to jump normally, like, a foot off the ground. I don't know what a normal jump is, like 2 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine quadrupling that. But you can do that safely and without being high on drugs. Like you can literally do that on this planet and land safely, theoretically. Mm-hmm. I mean, like when you nail a trampoline jump, it is an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So, I think that's it. Like, it's
I think
the
you're
experience.
Both right, and I appreciate your retailer analysis. Mm. I still think it's because people like to take risks, but okay. Anyway, so talking about safety or lack thereof, between 1990 and 2000, so like the peak, there were 11 people who died on trampolines, generally because they fell on their necks. Yep. And the age range was 3 to 43, but the majority of those 11 people were teenagers.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which I feel like this was like coming near the extreme sports era. So a lot of people were doing like stunts, or they would hit each other. They would fall on the frame. They would fall off the trampoline. There were just a lot of different reasons why people were getting super hurt. Kids were going to the ER in spades.
Can I tell you like a couple of the games we played on the trampoline?
Sure.
So, I mean, we didn't, like, just get on the trampoline. Well, okay, we did, actually. Never mind. That's false. I was going to say we didn't just, like, get on the trampoline and fight. But we would, like, wrestle, obviously. But the two games that we had that I think led to the most injuries was, one, we had popcorn.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And the way that worked was, like, everybody was on and you had to hold your knees to your chest.
Yeah.
And once you got popped, you lost. But you got up and you also started jumping. So if, like, you had, like, we had, like, a ton of kids in my neighborhood. So you'd have, like, eight or nine, like, 11 or 12 year olds doing this all at once with like one person left. And then you would purposely try to like pop them off the edge because you would scare them into like opening their hands.
Yeah.
Since you couldn't pop them the other way. But I think the really dangerous one is we would have a game where we would collect a whole bunch of dimes and like pennies, and we would put them on the trampoline. And then you would all start jumping and you would try to collect the most money. But the coins would be like bouncing in the air. So you would be like reaching out for them and you would lose you wouldn't know your balance because you'd be in the air. And then you would land on your heel on a pop, and it would like sit, and you'd be leaning right to like catch it. So it would just send you in directions that you were not ready for it.
Oh, no.
That one was bad. That one, you pretty much didn't play without somebody getting hurt.
Yeah, but how much money did you make?
Oh, I mean, usually, we don't make any money because you put it right back into.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's like.
Yeah, you don't trade money. You just like.
God.
Yes, it's like dreidel.
This dreidel. Human dreidel. Oh my God. Anyway, so there are some ideas. So basically, like 40% of injuries for trampoline injuries, 40% of them were caused or like affected people's legs or feet. I knew a bunch of people who like were in wheelchairs for a little bit or like broke their arms. Like that was generally how people were hurting themselves on this thing. Oof. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission was kind of like, yo, y'all got to chill on these trampolines. Here's some tips to not almost die. So they started, you know, like now you'll often see there are safety nets around them or people kind of bury them into the ground a little bit lower. So don't go as high. And I think that's far more common now. That was essentially like a protection that they instituted.
So do you think people mostly got hurt from hitting the edge of the trampoline or hitting the ground?
I feel like most people probably fell off.
Hit the ground.
And hit the ground, yeah.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, falls were the leading cause and then falling on your neck.
Because in my brain, I just pictured what might be the best idea I've ever had, which is picture a pool, but you empty the pool and you put a trampoline in it and then you fill the rest of the pool with like soft soil so that you can do the super jump trampoline stuff. But if you fall off, you just fall on the soil.
This sounds kind of like a bouncy house, but like with way better jumping.
Yeah, it sounds great is what it sounds like. And if anyone wants to pay me a bunch of money to make this happen, feel free.
I like this, although I hate jumping, so I would not do this. Okay, so we're at the best part of every story I tell. It's Guinness time!
Oh, boy.
Yay, my favorite book of trouble.
Guinness time, baby! So, here's a record for the number of seat drops, the most seat drops done on a trampoline in 60 seconds.
What is a seat drop?
Like, if you jump and then fall on your butt.
And then jump and then
and keep
just
going
keep doing
for 60
it?
Seconds.
Oh,
how
God,
many seat drops it's so did stupid. Alexander Nakonechny, I can't say it, he's Russian.
Okay.
Mm. How many did he do in 60 seconds?
I'm going to guess 130.
Okay.
In 60 seconds?
Hmm.
I'm going to guess... So, it depends on how it looks, right?
That's what I...
So,
yes.
So the reason
that's
I think it could be even higher is, like, you know, like, that Russian dance where they, like, kick their legs out?
Yeah.
And their butts really low to the ground?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Say you're just barely getting back up, right?
Right,
like, you're not
exactly.
even really standing. Mm-hmm. It's more just these, like, pseudo jumps. I would guess at that point, like... Yeah, it's got to be like 145.
I like the way you guys think, but it's 49.
So that makes me think that it's like a full stand.
Yeah, he was doing a full standing.
Yeah, he was doing a full stand, not just little bounces on his butt.
Yeah. Which makes me think I can break that record. That stupid record.
Okay, so Brian Hudson in 2003 did the record number of consecutive somersaults before getting off. How many did he do consecutively?
somersault is the one where you just do a flip?
There's no time limit to this?
Yes, it was just like how many he did until he was like, okay, gosh, I'm done.
Like 1,400.
Okay.
No, that's way too high. I'm going to guess 250.
Way too low.
He did 3,333.
Oh, yeah, that's why I felt like I was shooting low.
How
yeah.
do you not get dizzy from that?
I don't know. How do you jump on a trampoline for more than like a minute?
How do
that's
you not
my
yarf?
Question. I don't know, man. I don't have the exact like length of time he was on it here. But yeah, he did 3,000 before he was like, okay, I got to stop, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he would do like a complete 360 degree turn. So it wasn't really just like tumbling. It was just like turning and then jumping or turning in the air. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I get it now.
Okay. So last one. So the Singaporean, oh my God, Community Sports Club, they had the world record for number of people they got on a trampoline. How many people did they have on one trampoline?
How big was the trampoline?
Big enough to hold this number of people.
Because like if you have like a state sized trampoline, it's more. I want to give the record to whoever made that trampoline.
I don't
have a state sized trampoline is what we're talking about.
Yes,
Rhode Island, so it's not as impossible.
Yeah, little roadie.
It's Washington D.C. size.
okay,
not a state.
okay, so like a normal, I'm guessing quasi normal trampoline size. Probably, I don't know, 12 feet in diameter.
Sure.
Is that normal? I don't know. I'm going to guess 60 people.
60?
Yeah. Oh,
60.
Are they jumping or are they just sort of like squeezing in there like a...
They're jumping.
I don't know.
They're not just
standing.
Oh,
they are jumping. I'm going to stand by 60.
I'm going to say... 122.
Okay. Plant is closer. 375.
Jesus.
So actually, here's the thing that I thought was really funny. So they had 376 people, but one of them took a break and to like take a selfie while they were on the trampoline, so they were disqualified because everyone had to keep jumping the whole time.
Oh.
So it was 375.
You forgot the most important record that Guinness tracks, and that's most smooches on a trampoline, and that's me.
How many did you get? How many smooches?
Two.
Yeah, it was one and a half smooches, really, if I'm being honest.
The half was because one of you fell off the trampoline.
That was a turned face smooch. One of them was a turned face.
Oh, no.
Yeah, wow. It was not good. Wow. I got one full smooch, though.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now I guess we will go to reader only memories.
Wait. It's called reader only. But I before we move on, I do want to talk about something that you might not have done research on, but I just remember them and I never tried them and I always wanted to.
Yes.
Moon shoes.
Oh, yeah. Like moon bounce.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, not like moon bounce. They were shoes, like normal shoes that you strap on your feet. But the shoes were effectively mini trampolines that you'd walk around on and you could jump. Have you ever heard of this?
So it's different than moon bounce. Ah, yes. Okay. Moon shoes. I did not look up moon shoes. I remember that being a thing. But the thing is, like, these things creep me out, man.
I mean, they do look very dangerous, but I always, always wanted to try them and I never got to.
Yeah.
We can categorize that in the same category as Heelys, which I always wanted to try and never got to.
Heelys seem
like
terrible.
A lot of fun. Are they bad?
They're bad.
They seem like fun.
Very not fun. I mean, moon shoes might be fun, but I feel like I would just like fall on my face immediately.
Yeah. Plant, you didn't have moon shoes?
No, I tried them once and I remember it just like not working because the shoes still have weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like you would try to bounce and it kind of felt like you were kind of like more like swamp shoes, like you're more like cotton than it does like, oh, I'm like jumping.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not like Inspector Gadget with his spring shoes.
Correct. It is not like Inspector Gadget.
You just want us to install springs in your feet.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, so now we will move on.
To what?
To Reader Only Memories.
With a song in your heart, Allegra.
With Reader Only Memories, baby.
There it is.
Here's the thing about my selections. A lot of them were really disturbing because that's the whole thing with trampolines, is they're fun and painful.
So, yeah, so if let me preface this by saying, if there's anything that's super graphic, we just sort of like...
Yes, I did not pick any of the graphic ones, but I'm just saying, okay, like, good. I had like 130 responses and very few of them were usable.
Okay, good.
A lot of people hurt themselves. So here's one from Slayer of Pizza that I thought was really funny. They said, one time I was at my Mormon friend's cousin's house, and we were eating nachos on the trampoline, and we pretended that we were falling down to hell. And when we got there, we would look around and we would say, this can't be hell, we have nachos.
My gosh.
I mean,
they're right. There are no hell, there's no nachos in hell, so they had it spot on.
A religious awakening on a trampoline. Jaundice T said, I once bounced on a trampoline with a cold, and I puked all over the entrance of one, trapping my friends inside.
Oh, so this is probably like with one with the fence around the edge or the netting.
So basically they were like jumping around and then like no one could get out because there was just puke all over the like one place to get out.
Drag. Which I thought was really cool. Had to live in there.
Yeah, so they all just lived in the trampoline together. I feel like that's how like Spin the Bottle on a Trampoline was born, because you have nothing else to do. You can't get out. Okay, and then the last one I have here, because literally all the other ones were about breaking something, is from Sunglasses Face. And it says, one winter we didn't take ours down and it snowed and thawed to the point where we had an iceberg on our trampoline. And it sank down to about an inch off the ground. We had to go at it with ice picks and hammers to break it. But once the iceberg was off, it was still fine.
Whoa, wait. So you know what's amazing is as they were picking it down and making it smaller, eventually, theoretically, the iceberg should be sprung up into the air and become like a deadly projectile.
You just want,
I guess it
like,
didn't work
trampolines
like
to literally be weaponized. People falling off.
I mean, again, a lot of Wile E. Coyote cartoons, like it is ingrained in me.
Jesus. Well, we'll see. We have to go test it. We have to throw like a bomb on a trampoline, I guess, and see what happens.
I'm gonna order a trampoline for the office. I think it's gonna be great.
You should order moon shoes.
Yeah,
do that.
Wait, does our insurance cover moon shoes?
Almost certainly not.
So yeah, that's it for trampolines and me.
Awesome. Thank you, Allegra.
I was seriously not a fan of them ever. I don't remember bouncing on them more than like twice.
You're missing out.
Oof.
Someday. Well, thank you, Allegra. That was lovely. And thank you.
I have a question.
Oh.
For Allegra's next episode.
Yes.
Will she bring something she actually likes?
I will mandate it. How about that? Allegra, you need to bring something you really like.
So here's the thing about my thought process is I try to pick things that I don't like in the hopes that maybe I'll learn to like them.
Oh, you'll turn around on it?
Interesting.
Okay, we will find a thing that doesn't make me want to throw up.
Yay. Okay. Thank you, Allegra, for excellent trampoline research. Thank you, Chris Plant, for just sort of being you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And thank you to everyone at home, especially the people that wrote in delightful and horrifying memories of their trampoline experiences. We already always appreciate that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at, you know, our variety of Twitter handles, Legs Frank, Plant, and Ross Frostick, because we will be petitioning for more categories in the future. So if you want your story shared and we don't find it horrifying, you should definitely do that. We would love to share your stories. Also, feel free to review us on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet. There are a ton of really great reviews. We'd love to see more. We want to stick it to all the other podcasts at Vox Media. They are terrible in comparison to this fantastic podcast that you're listening to right now. And you should tell the world how great we are. Yes, we really appreciate it. Anyway, until next time... This has been The History of Fun, where we explore the hidden backstories behind the things you love to do. Goodbye!
Bye!
Bye! Thank you.